So, hope you're doing well. Hope you had a good week. And tonight we're going to talk about living life as an adventure. And what does it mean to go on an adventure with Jesus? So, I'm just going to open us up in prayer because I have nothing to say unless God speaks through me. You don't want to hear me anyway. You want to hear God. So, God, I just pray that you'd be with us tonight. Let your Holy Spirit just dwell in this place. Let him just be with us and open our minds and open our hearts to what you have to say to all of us, including myself. And so speak through me, God, through the preparation, through your word, and let us have ears and hearts that are receptive to hear whatever you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to ask you something very simply. Have you ever taken a risk before? Have you ever been on an adventure before? Have you ever gone to Lake Mojave in Arizona or Havasu and jumped off one of those cliffs into the water, maybe a 30, 40-foot cliff? Have you ever done something really scary that you were like, I can't believe I did that? I did that once at Lake Mojave in Nevada with my friends. We were on a Sea-Doo trip, and it was like a 60-foot cliff. I kid you not. We like measured it out based on pictures and how tall we were when we were falling. But I sprained my neck when I fell because I got so scared falling down that I didn't fall straight into the water, and I kind of went like that, and a whiplash in my neck, and so the rest of the day I just had this huge kink in my neck and really bad headache. Don't recommend it. Never do it again. But have you guys ever done this? I know you have. Some of us are Facebook friends. You guys go on these elaborate trips around the world, so you've probably jumped off a cliff before, done something like that, or been bungee jumping. You've taken a risk. You've been on an adventure, right? Well, I've done some stupid things myself, and one of the things was jumping out of an airplane in Key West, Florida, over the Florida Keys, and that is just straight terror on my face right there. I'm literally screaming with my mouth open there. But then when I fell, I experienced the thrill of falling over the Florida Keys. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Florida Keys, but I had never been there, so I took a rental car from Miami. I drove down that street there. You see kind of the bridge that connects all the different islands, and it was epic. I was like, this is amazing. What are all these little islands? There's these bridges that just connect for 100 miles. It's incredible. And then I saw a sign as I was driving, Skydive Key West, and I was like, Skydive? Called the number. 2 hours later, this is what happened. So it was totally on a whim. I wasn't planning on doing it, but I don't recommend this. See, there are good risks in life and there are bad risks in life. A good risk would be actually telling your friends about Jesus at your school, or telling your friends about why you actually go to church and not being ashamed of that. That's a good risk. They could make fun of you, but it's worth it. A bad risk would be something like this. This is probably not something I'll ever do again, but it was really fun. But what I want to tell you tonight is there is a life of adventure waiting for you when you take a risk to follow Jesus. There's a life of adventure waiting for you when you take a risk and follow Jesus. Because with any adventure, there will be risks involved. It's just a natural part of the adventure. In fact, if you Google right now adventure and adventure definition, you will see that it says an unusual and exciting, typically hazardous experience or activity. Typically hazardous, which means there's risk involved. It might hurt. It might be hazardous to your health, but it's an adventure. And usually, if you're going on an adventure, it's worth it. So I want you to tell your neighbor, life is an adventure, but it's better with Jesus. Go ahead, tell your neighbor, life is an adventure, but it's better with Jesus. Yeah, there you go. This is how we do it in the South, right? Alabama, Texas, this is what they do. They talk in the service, so maybe we'll do some of that. But life is an adventure, but it's better with Jesus. And I know you guys have gone on an adventure. Maybe you've been to Europe with your friends and you've explored Italy, you've explored France, you've walked around. You've done these different things that would say, yes, that was an adventure. There were some risks involved. Or maybe you've been on a hike. And what is the risk on a hike, right? You could run out of water. You could get poison ivy from the leaves. You could get lost on a hike. There's risk in a hike, right? Every adventure has risks naturally embedded in them. Now, I want you to imagine going on an adventure with God. I want you to imagine every part of your heart surrendered to the Holy Spirit with open hands, open mind, open heart. And I want you to close your eyes just for 10 seconds. Just close your eyes for 10 seconds and imagine, what does it look like for you to go on an adventure with your life with God? What does that look like for you? What is God doing in your heart? What is he leading you towards as you go on an adventure in your life with God? It's going to look different for all of us, right? It's going to look different for all of us. But when your heart is surrendered to God, the most trustworthy person in the world, that adventure will be worth it. That adventure will be fun. I've been to Europe with my friends, and we had a lot of fun. It was a great adventure. But I want to tell you something, that my friends aren't nearly as fun and as trustworthy, as great as they are, as God is. They're not nearly as fun and trustworthy as God is. So when you go on an adventure with God, you're going to have fun. It's going to be trustworthy. It's going to be amazing. There might be risk involved, but the risk will be worth it. Because God's never going to lead you to something that will cause you to have despair or cause you to have some type of intense trial that you can never overcome. There's always hope with Christ. No matter what he leads you to in your life, there's always hope. There's always good working out for you, for those who are called according to his purpose and who love Christ, Romans 8:28 says. So, in the Bible, there's this guy named Peter, and he goes on an adventure with Jesus. There's this little story about a storm and fear and sinking and faith and Jesus and Peter. So I want us to read about it in Matthew. If you have your Bibles, Matthew 14, 22 through 33. If you have it on your phones, that's fine. It's all good. I won't think you're playing on your phones. No condemnation, no judgment here. Matthew 14, 22 through 23. So let's go ahead and look that up. Matthew 14, 22 says, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he had dismissed the crowd, and after he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it is you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' Jesus said, 'Come.' Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink. So he cried out, and he said, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?' he said. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Now, just to demonstrate this, because I'm a visual learner, I have a little video that kind of demonstrates this whole scene.
Why did he walk away just when we're getting strong?
Surely a Messiah wouldn't leave us like this. A Messiah should be a warrior, a conqueror like David.
Judas, force is not the way.
So tell me what the way of Messiah is.
He's different.
But Mary, what if he's not the one? We're risking our lives. For what?
He has shown us his power. We must have faith in him.
Come on.
He'll not fail us.
He said he'd meet us on the other side. Let's go!
The part in that video where you see Peter step out on the water, and did you see his face? Did you see it light up with excitement? Because you know what? He got to experience the thrill of walking on water while the other disciples stayed in the boat and doubted. The other disciples could have been like, "Oh, Jesus is out there. Oh, he's walking on the water. Oh, I'm getting out on the boat too. I'm getting out of the boat. I want to walk on water. I want to experience that thrill." But they chose the comfort and safety of the boat instead of the thrill that Peter alone got to experience. And the video showed it. His face lit up before he saw the wind and before he saw the lightning and heard the thunder. His face lit up with excitement. He was alive. He was experiencing the thrill of a lifetime. In fact, he's the only person besides Jesus that we know of in all of history that ever walked on water. That's pretty cool, even if it was for only 5 seconds. It's still amazing, right? The other disciples didn't get to experience that thrill because they didn't take the risk of stepping out of the boat and walking on the water and having the faith in Jesus to do the impossible. It's a beautiful story. And just to give you a little context about where this passage is, Jesus had just fed the 5,000, and those were men only, because they didn't count women and children back then in terms of those types of accounting systems. But he just fed the 5,000, and he goes on a hill to get away and pray, take some silence and solitude to pray. And just a side note, if Jesus himself had to go alone and take some silence and solitude to pray to the Heavenly Father, how much more do we need to get alone and pray to our Heavenly Father, right? Okay, side note, because he's the Son of God, but if he still needs to do that, how much more do we as mere finite human beings, right? Okay, but then he tells them to go out on the lake, go out on the water, get in the boat. He knows what's going on. He knows there's a storm and they're scared. So what does he do? He goes out to them and meets them in the midst of the storm, walks to them, and says, I'm here. It is I. Don't be afraid. And that's what God does to us, right? He comes to whatever storm we're going through, and he walks towards us with open hands, and he reaches down when we sink, and he lifts us back up to keep us breathing, to keep us out of the water, to keep us in safety. He comes to us and rescues us every time, no matter what storm we're going through. He's faithful to be there in our moment of need. And I love that the text in the Greek, it literally says the disciples were terrified. They cried out in fear. That's how scared they were, because they saw this ghost-like figure. How many of you would be scared if you saw this some type of ghost-like figure out on the lake in the middle of the night? I'd be scared. I'd be like, what the heck is that? Am I like tripping right now? My whole reality and lens of seeing the world is just totally different. The world is a really strange place. I would just be tripping if I saw that, right? You would too. The world is a strange place. But Jesus comes to them and brings them peace and rescues them from their despair. And Peter finally recognizes Jesus. And what does he say? He says, Lord, if it is you, enable me to come out on the water to you. He says, if it is you, enable me. And Jesus responds and he says, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But I love how in the Greek, in that word if in your Bible, some of your Bibles might translate it if or since. Peter is actually saying, Lord, since it is you. That's what the Greek word literally means. Since it's you. In other words, because of who you are, you alone can enable me, little old me, to actually get out and do the impossible. Since it is you, Lord, enable me to get out of the boat and come and follow you. And he says, come. So Peter acknowledges his place in light of who God is. He says, since it is you, because of who you are, you alone can enable me, give me the power to do the impossible. What is the impossible in your life that you don't think God has the power to do for you? What is that in your life that you think God can't work that out? God can't solve that dilemma for you? Since it is you, that's faith. Peter had faith. He says, since it's you, God, you alone can change this situation. You alone can turn around the situation in my life. You alone can enable me to do the impossible in my life, to walk on water, whatever the water is in your life, whatever getting out of the boat means for you in your life. God alone can enable you to do that. That's a beautiful thing about this story. Jesus answers with an invitation. He says, come. He opens his hand. He doesn't force. He doesn't push Peter out of the boat. Get out of there. You have no faith. Come on, man. He says, come. He invites us. Take me up on the offer. Allow me to do the impossible in your life. Come. So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. I'm sure Peter got really nervous, right? I'm sure he had butterflies in his stomach before when he's sitting on the edge of the boat and he's like, I don't know. I'm feeling really scared right now. I'm sure he had that tingling feeling in his feet where it's like almost when you're afraid of heights and you look down from a building or something, you get that tingling feeling. I'm sure he was scared and had butterflies, but he did it. He got out of the boat. His face lit up from the experience, the thrill of walking on water. And then he took his eyes off of Jesus. He took his eyes off of Jesus, and he heard the thunder, and he saw the lightning, and he got scared. His face went from exhilaration to fear. And he says, Lord, save me. So Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And he picks him up out of the water and saves him. The rest of the disciples stayed in the boat where it was easy, it was less risky. Peter alone took the risk. In life, it's hard to get out of the boat sometimes, right? It's much easier to stay in your comfort zone. It's much easier not to talk about your faith with your friends. It's much easier not to stand up for yourself in conversations about God or in temptation when you're on a date or when a guy wants to take it too far. It's much easier to just be like, okay, right? Guys, it's much easier just to be obedient to your bodily urges and not respect her for her as the woman and daughter of God that she is. It's much easier to stay in the boat. It's a lot harder to have faith and to say, you know what, if I get out of the boat, God will enable me to do the impossible. What seems like impossible in my life is not impossible with God. I want to have the faith like Peter had, because even though he got out of the boat and doubted and sank, he did not fail. A lot of people give Peter a hard time because they say, oh, he failed, he sank, he had little faith. No, 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 Peter didn't fail. Peter succeeded. Peter did something that no one else in all of history except Jesus of Nazareth has ever done. No human being has ever walked on water. Peter didn't fail. Peter succeeded. The disciples stayed in the boat. It's hard in life to get out of the boat, right? What's the boat in your life that God might be trying to invite you to step out with faith and to say, trust me, I can do the impossible. I can enable you to do anything. That's the God we serve. And I know, I'll tell you, I know getting out of the boat sometimes is hard. I was sitting on a boat one time in Hawaii, 2 miles north of the North Shore. My friends who live in Hawaii convinced me to go shark diving in a non-caged ocean, middle of the Pacific Ocean. And I was like scared out of my mind. So this scene right here is the instructor telling us all about what to do while we're in the water. I'm so scared in this moment that I'm literally like this, as you could see. I'm not looking at the instructor. I'm breathing. All my friends are chilling, listening to the instructor. And as you could see, I'm just like, God, if you get me through this, I will serve you all my days in every way I possibly can. I will continue to be a pastor all my days. And I kept thinking that. And I was just like, I do not want to get out of this boat. So we get 2 miles off the North Shore in Hawaii, and we start seeing sharks circling the boat. It's like Jaws. We see the fins out of the water. There's like 20 of them. 20 of them. It's crazy. And so the instructor's telling us, all right, guys, you can't be scared. If you freak out, you're gonna endanger us all. You're going to endanger the whole group because the sharks could sense the fear. So don't wear sunscreen and don't pee and don't have any fear. That's what they told us, because that will attract the sharks to eat us. So I'm like, okay, yeah, sounds great, yeah. No fear, just sharks, no big deal. I'm scared just to step in the water in the middle of the ocean, let alone when you see sharks circling a boat, right? So we get in and we just dog paddle, and there's 20 sharks all around us, and we have goggles, and I'm the second person from the front there in the blue shorts, and I am scared out of my mind, and the instructor's right in front of me. I was literally like right behind the instructor the whole time. I'm just like, all right, if this dude gets eaten, then he's gonna get eaten first. But every time one of these sharks came by, I swear they made eye contact with me, and I'm just like, are you gonna be the one that eats me and drags me to the abyss while all your friends just take chomps at me for the rest of my life? Like, are you gonna be the one? Oh, this guy's gonna come. So we make eye contact. I'm scared. But I got out of the boat. The instructor made me get out of the boat first, because I was the most scared. He knew that I was most scared, so he said, you need to get out of the boat first. So I literally had to go in the water first. It was absolutely horrifying. Again, just like I don't recommend skydiving, I do not recommend that. But I'll tell you, in that moment, I had butterflies like I've never had before. I had this feeling that I knew I didn't want to let life pass me by. I knew that they do this every day, and for some reason they know how to behave around the sharks to enable these particular sharks not to bite you. And I knew that this is a tour company that does this every day, and I was like, okay, what are the chances that I'm the one that gets bit, right? Just like, what are the chances my parachute doesn't open when I skydive? So I took the risk, right? But I had butterflies. I want to tell you, when you have butterflies in life, when you have that feeling of, oh, I should do this, it might mean that is something that you have to do in your life. It might mean that is one of the most courageous acts of bravery that you will ever experience. Because the butterflies tell you, I'm in the game. I'm not letting life pass me by. I'm actually in the game. When you try out for that team, when you're scared because you feel like your talent won't measure up or you might fail in that tryout, you're in the game. You got those butterflies, but you're in the game. You're not letting life pass you by. You're taking life by the horns and you're saying, no, I'm going to be present in this moment. I'm not going to be worried about the future. I'm not going to regret the past. I'm going to live up to my potential right here, right now. I'm in the game. I got butterflies. It's all good. It's an act of bravery. It's an act of courage. Not stupid things like this, but whatever it is in your life that God wants to invite you into, do, to be courageous. What is that? What does it mean for you to get out of the boat in your life right now? So I have a question for you. Who failed? Who failed? Did Peter fail? Did the disciples fail? Because I think Peter succeeded. I think Peter got to experience a thrill of being alive in that moment. The thrill of having faith in an impossible working God in that moment. See, Peter's a leader. He's the leader of the disciples. And sometimes as a leader, you have to do what's hard. Sometimes as a leader, you have to do the risky thing for what's right, for what's good. Any leaders in the room today? Mike Hernandez, you leader? Tim, you leader? That's right. Sometimes as leaders, you have to do what's hard, what's risky for the benefit of all, for the greater good. Peter succeeded. Peter did the impossible. But it's true that when we step out in faith, it's a risk. We could lose. We could fail. Others could make fun of us. But sometimes it's only in those moments when you take a risk, when you step out in faith, that God actually shows up with his presence and power in ways that you never could have imagined. Just last week, Caleb and Nolan were talking to another group. We went to Cal State Fullerton and evangelized to people. We had these great conversations, about 7 different guys that him and I had these conversations with. We went up to one particular guy, this guy Fernando. He's sitting there by himself. We'd start talking to him, 10, 15-minute conversation about his life, his religious background. He ends up surrendering his life to Christ. I led him in the sinner's prayer, and he accepted the Lord. It was amazing. It was beautiful. And it was a risk. I said, hey, man, I'm going to go out on a limb here, but given everything we just talked about, would you want to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And he's like, yeah. I was like, sweet. So I sat down next to him. I led him in the sinner's prayer. It was risky, right? Sometimes when we go out on those things at Cal State Fullerton, they make fun of me. They're like, no, I'm doing my homework. Just go away. I'm like, cool. No worries. Hey, have a good day. You know, good luck on your project. But it's risky. It's scary. Even me, like I'm in my 30s, but I still feel rejected when they reject me. I'm like, oh man, you rejected me. I feel stupid, you know, and I just walk away. But I still, it's like the little kid in me comes out like, oh, you rejected me. Okay, that sucks. You know, I feel like a loser. But you have to overcome those things. And be like, no, for the greater good, I'm going to do the risky thing. I'm going to do what's hard. Because you know what? If I would have just succumbed to that, then Fernando wouldn't have got saved last Thursday. Because I would have been too scared to go back to Cal State Fullerton because I got rejected there before. Right? So if one classmate tells you, no, I'm an atheist, dude. You're dumb for believing in God. We're in a post-Christian society. Don't you know that? Like, this is all postmodern. Go listen to the professors. And you're like, no, but I know what I've experienced. I've experienced the resurrected Christ. And you tell them once again, you have that bravery to stand up for your God once again. That's what it looks like to get out of the boat sometimes. So there's a life of adventure waiting for you. There's a life of adventure waiting for you. And I think what I want to tell you lastly, before we close in about 5 minutes, Jesus said in Luke chapter 9:23, he said, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. And I think that coincides with Peter stepping out of the boat. Because if you say, I'm a follower of Christ, right, and all of you do, sometimes to be a follower in Christ, you deny yourself, which means I give up control of my own life. I'm denying my own needs for the benefit of what God needs me to do in my life. I'm giving up control. You take up your cross. You're making a commitment to follow Jesus. Even if that following Jesus might hurt you, there might be persecution, there might be pain involved, and there might even be death involved. Right? Martyrs. I just saw the movie Silence about Christian martyrs in Japan in the 1600s. It was amazing. But death might be involved when you take up your cross and follow Jesus. And then follow me. That means follow the example and the teachings of Christ himself. What did he tell us to do? He told us to turn the other cheek. He told us not to lust. He told us not to commit murder. He says, if you have anger in your heart, you've committed murder in your heart. Don't be envious. Don't be jealous. He told us all these things. It's a matter of our heart. So we follow him. We follow his example. We follow his teachings. Jesus is inviting you on an adventure, and this is the adventure. This is where it starts, denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following him. What if you woke up every day thinking, I wonder what adventure Jesus is inviting me to participate in today? What if you woke up every day thinking, I wonder what's going to happen at my school, what's going to happen at our workplace, how my conversations with my family members are going to go? I wonder what adventure he's inviting me to go on today. Am I going to put my hand in his hand and allow him to guide me into the life of adventure, risking all that is waiting for me if I just say yes to him every day? See, the hardest thing in your life is not saying yes to Jesus one time when you were 10 years old and saying the sinner's prayer. The hardest thing in life is saying yes to Jesus day in and day out, in the good times, in the bad times, in the valleys, and on the mountaintops. It's easy to say yes to Jesus on the mountaintops when you got that coffee high and you're feeling good. I had a coffee high this morning. I was feeling good. I was like, man, my life is good. 2 hours later, I'm like, oh, yeah, my life is chill. You know, whatever. It's not. But that coffee high, right? But it's easy to say yes to Jesus when you're on the mountaintop. But the hardest thing is saying yes to him every day, denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following him every single day when you're 20 years old and when you're 90 years old. Because bad things will happen, and it'll cause you to doubt your faith. It'll cause you to feel like God doesn't exist. It'll cause you to feel like Jesus doesn't know what I'm going through. Those are the moments where when you have faith to still get out of the boat in that moment, ooh, I think that's where the blessings, that's when the favor, that's when the grace and presence of the Most High God comes into your life like you've never experienced before. When you still get out of the boat in that moment, when it's hard, when it's really hard, when you're on that date and you could go farther, but you know it's wrong, and you stop yourself, you have self-control. When you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus, the ways and the teachings of Jesus. I think that's when the blessings and the favor and the anointing come into your life like never before. I love in Psalm 23, I'm not going to go there, you don't have to turn there, but Psalm 23, I love how David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I'm on this journey, and in the journey I will be in the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And then what Jesus said, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. But then he says, surely, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. So not only are you with me, God, but goodness and mercy are always with me, following me everywhere I go in the darkest valleys. Goodness and mercy and the Most High God are with me. So why would I fear? I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Wherever you go, not only do you have the presence of God, but you have goodness and mercy. Psalm 23, it's one of the most famous chapters in all the Bible. And I passed over those words my whole life until recently. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So how do you do this? How do you live your life for God as an adventure? You live a life of adventure. You follow Jesus. You take a risk. But more specifically, the number one thing you do is you listen to God's voice. You hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit telling you to go this way or don't go that way. You hear the voice of God telling you, this is who you're called to be. This is not who you're called to be. And you change your life accordingly. Listen to God's voice. The practice of Lent is tomorrow. It starts tomorrow. Ash Wednesday is tomorrow. As you symbolically remember that you're like dust of the ground, and from dust you shall return. Your life is short. So what do Catholics do? Some of you kind of grew up Catholic probably. You put ash on your forehead and a cross to remind you that you're from the dust, and to the dust you shall return. But not only that, you symbolically identify with Christ in his death on the cross. And on Easter Sunday, you celebrate the new life you have, the resurrection that will take place at the end of all time. And you celebrate the resurrection of Christ as well. So Lent starts tomorrow, a 40-day journey that Christians have been doing for 2,000 years. And so for Lent, starting tomorrow, I'm going to give you guys something when you're in your small groups, a little paper on kind of what it means and what it is and the history behind it. But perhaps consider taking something away and adding something else. Maybe on the weekends you don't use social media on every Saturday and Sunday, and you use that time to spend time with the Lord instead. It's about adding and subtracting. Subtracting something that's probably not the best for you and adding something else. So consider that, to gain more of the presence of God in your life so you could listen to God's voice more and more. The second thing is stand up for Jesus at your school. I know that seems very easy to do in theory, but how many of us actually have done it? Stand up for Jesus at your school. Don't be afraid to let others know you are a Christian and why you're a Christian. And think about why you're a Christian. Why are you here on a Tuesday night when you could be doing something else? Because God's stirring something inside of you, and you know that this world is not as it should be, and you want to be a part of how it will be when Jesus comes and make all things new. You want to be a part of how it should be. You want to be a part of the solution and not a part of the destruction. You want to be a part of what's good and not what's bad. So stand up for Jesus at your school. And the last thing, to live a life of adventure, take a risk. Go on a mission trip. You know, if you don't want to come with us, that's fine. Go with another organization. Go on a mission trip somewhere. I want you to come with us to Mexico and India. We're going to serve the homeless in San Diego too. We're not just going to stay in a fancy hotel. We're going to do another outreach project on Sunday, but there's going to be time for refreshment and renewal as well. So we're going to utilize the amenities at that nice hotel as well, because hey, we're paying for it, right? But go on a mission trip. Come to India with us. You'll never regret going to India. I went in 2009 and it was an amazing, life-changing experience. You'll get the money, trust me. You tell people you're going to go serve the Dalit people of the caste system, people that are considered the dirt underneath the foot in that culture, in that society, they'll be like, oh, you're going to go serve orphans in India, the Dalits? Oh, you're going to serve the poorest of the poor, the most vulnerable, at-risk children in the world? Yeah, I'll give to that. Oh, and it's tax deductible? Sure, here's $1,000. Boom. Done. I'm telling you, you'll get enough money. All right, besides that, what is it for you that you need to get out of the boat? Some of you guys are like way up here, and God's like, there's an adventure waiting for you down there. There's an adventure down there. But you're like, it's safe up here in my cocoon. It's safe. No one bothers me up here. And God, maybe just tonight, is asking you to take one step. Whatever that step is. Maybe it's praying. Maybe it's awareness. Maybe it's closing your eyes and imagining, what is God inviting you to do? What is he asking you to surrender in your life? And then next week, it's another step. 2 years from now, it's another step. And maybe 5 years from now, you're in the water, you're walking on water, you're doing things that you never even thought possible. It's a progression. Progression, not perfection. You don't have to get all the way here tonight. Just take one step tonight. And 5 years from now, you could do the impossible. There are things in my life, by taking risks for God, that I was able to do, that God allowed me to walk into, that I never thought I'd be able to do. Ever. And I'm telling you, when you take a risk from God, when you step out in faith on a limb, he shows up. He shows up. He gives you the words to say to people when you take a risk to tell them about Jesus. He gives you the words to say. He gives you the finances when you want to go on a mission trip. He shows up. Take a risk. Follow Jesus. Life is flying by, you guys. Life is flying by. And it's going to get faster and faster and faster and faster. It's like a snowball effect. It just accumulates. It gets faster and faster over time. Your life is going to fly by. And you have to ask yourself, what do I want to be known for? Do I want to be known for just holding on to what's safe and what's comfortable and just never letting go? Just holding on to the boat and just being like, no, I'm not getting out of the boat. What if I would have stayed in the boat? All my friends would have been swimming with sharks and having these epic, cool pictures and telling their grandkids about one day. And I'm in the boat like, I'm too scared. I know if I get out in the boat, they'll eat me. I know they're not eating them, but they'll eat me because it's just my luck. Whatever that is for you, get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. So, I love this quote. So I made this slide with this quote. Mary Oliver says, tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Get out of the boat. Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? You want to stay here the whole time and just look at the adventures going on underneath you? Or do you want to participate in the world? Do you want to participate and do something amazing? Do the impossible. Jesus, Lord, since it is you, enable me to walk out on the water and I'll go out. He says, come. Enable me, since it's you. Because of who you are, you can enable me to do the impossible. Would you pray with me? God, I pray that our lives would be about doing the impossible. I pray that we would be people that rise up to the occasion and become the men and women, God, that you have called us to be. I pray that where there is fear, that you would give us courage. Where there is anxiety, you would give us peace. And I pray most of all that your Holy Spirit's presence and power and grace would work in us and through us to this dark and hurting world, that we could bring light where there is darkness, that we could bring relief where there is pain, where we could bring peace where there is stress and anxiety, God. So do in us as you wish, God. Create in us a clean heart that we may serve you afresh and anew. In Jesus' name.
Praise the name of the Lord.